Well, welcome to Friday. I know you're glad it's Friday, and we're delighted to have guests. Who's here with the Access Weekend? Do we have visitors? And stand up. Don't just wave your hand. Stand up. Let us welcome you. What a joy to have you on campus today, and we just pray that God will bless your time that you're here. Well, it's my privilege to introduce to you our morning speaker, and this is his first time on our campus. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of background so that you know who he is. Dave Inbrick has been senior pastor of the Napanee Missionary Church in Indiana since 1979. He started when he was 10. We understand that. I know him personally through our work together on the board of World Gospel Mission. He's the chair of the board of WGM. And so I've had the opportunity to watch him as he leads that great ministry. Under Pastor Day's leadership at his church, they have experienced consistent growth, completing 7 building programs in the last 36 years and launching a satellite campus. Its weekend worship attendance at the church now averages 3,400. Pastor Dave's church is all about impacting the world for Christ, and they're making impacts on a local basis, in the regional area, and on a global level. Locally, they partner with 35 pantries and other organizations in the community. Regionally, they work with ministries and other churches across Indiana and Chicago. Globally, they're working with church plant movements in Mexico and India, a leadership training ministry in Honduras, and the African Gospel Church Baby Center in Kenya. Excuse me. Pastor Dave has a true passion for developing fully committed disciples who follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And I've assured him that you as Asbarians are those kinds of Christians. You want to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, passionately, and obediently. And he believes it's critical, as do we all believe, for disciples to change and to grow and to connect and to engage and to multiply. He and his wife, Christy, who's here with us this morning, welcome, Christy, we're glad you're here, have 2 children and 5 grandchildren. But I also need to say about Pastor Dave and Christy, since she came along with him, that they know to get to heaven, you have to be saved, sanctified, and pass through Wilmore, Kentucky. And so they are here in Wilmore, Kentucky, to make sure that they are fully equipped to make it to heaven. And so would you join me in welcoming Pastor Dave to the pulpit?
Wow. What an honor to be able to be here with you and to just have the glow of being able to be on the campus of Asbury University. My niece, when she was young, her dad would come up here once in a while, and she got mixed up. She kept calling this place Raspberry University. But what an honor it is to be able to be here. Any Kentucky fans in the house? Man, oh man, oh man. You know, I come in here, and I made a mistake when I came in. I came in assuming that since this is Wilmore, that everybody here be a Kentucky fan. And the first fan I run into is a North Carolina State fan. And the second fan, and who was happy that North Carolina lost last night. And then the second fan I run into is a Louisville fan. Isn't that something? So how about that? Hey, who does Kentucky play next? You know where I'm from? Yeah, Northern Indiana, Notre Dame country. But don't worry, I'm not a big Notre Dame fan. I had a little problem. I grew up in Nebraska, and so I'm a Cornhusker, and that's what I am at my heart, my roots. Is there anybody here that's ever heard of Nebraska? Have you heard of it? Okay. I just love it. Nebraska is not known for basketball. That's a minor sport in Nebraska. They're known for football. Back in the old days, you know, 5 national championships. But Nebraska is an academic institution with excellence. They're incredible. That's why they have the N on the helmet. It stands for knowledge. And they are, don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I spoke to the Notre Dame football team a couple times before games, and man, I felt like a hypocrite because I can do Notre Dame basketball, but I can't do Notre Dame football quite as well because I'm in Nebraska. You can't have divided loyalties. And so I'm speaking to the team, and I'm trying to encourage them for the game, and I'm praying over them. And in my heart, I'm a hypocrite. And I'm saying, oh, Jesus, forgive me, forgive me. And so I had to ask Father Hesburgh, could you forgive me, Father? I know not what I'm doing. What a delight to be able to be here. I love the leadership that Dr. Gray gives you all. The hardest job in America is to be a college president. I got to tell you, it is the toughest job in America. And you have an amazing leader as your president. Would you just express your love and appreciation to Dr. Gray? You know, when I walked in here, it was like deja vu. I'm homeless. My wife and I are orphans because the college that we went to no longer exists. It is not in business anymore. And it comes out of a similar heritage stream. When you talk about H.C. Morrison and the old founders of some of these places here and presidents, we walked in and we thought, man, this is just kind of like where we went to college. I mean, the chapel, the curved altar. I'm thinking, man, I'm home. And I said to Christy, I wonder if they'd adopt a couple orphan here to be kind of honorary alumnus, because this place has incredible history, incredible history. You may not know, as I work in circles across the country and as I work in so many different camps and settings, there is this aura, this Asbury aura. And that's why I told people at home, I said, you cannot go to heaven unless you stop in Wilmore. And at the age I'm getting, I better get there, you know, and make one trip. But I want to talk to you today and challenge you personally and corporately. This place has had great days, and you've had great days. But I believe God has something even greater that he wants to do for each of us. Now, I want to take you to Jeremiah chapter 29, a really familiar passage of scripture. And I'm going to put it up on the screen. I want you to see this, chapter 29. And could we just read this together out loud? Could we get our big outside voices? Okay, why don't you just stand up? You need to stretch. Some of you stayed up too late last night watching the game. Come on, stand up. And we're going to read this together. Now, this is a very familiar passage of scripture, but I want you to see it in a new light. It's pretty incredible. Are you ready? Here we go. Together, let's read it. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Now stop. To bring you back to this place. You see, these were people who grew up in Jerusalem, and then they were taken exile to Babylon. And he says, hey, good things are coming. You may think you're stuck, but I'm going to bring you back in 70 years. But I'm going to bring you back to this place, to Jerusalem. So he's taking a bunch of exiles and saying, there's something better in store for you. There's something better in store for you. Okay, pick it up. Here's the verse you know. Are you ready? Let's read it together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You can be seated. Now, this is incredible because God looks at us, and while he says this specifically to them, I believe I can say this to you, that God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has something incredible for you. As I was watching you come in today, I thought to myself, I wonder what God's got in store for that guy. I wonder what God's got in store for that gal. Because the plans of God are plans for shalom. He says, the plans I have for peace, for hope, plans to prosper you. That word prosper gets abused. It's really the word shalom. It's the idea God's got plans for you to have peace and hope and a future. I love this passage. Now, I can truly come to you today, and I'm not selling you something that is not in the Word. Your greatest days are just ahead. God's got plans for you. Now, you've got your plans, and you've got your ideas, and you've got your goals, and you've got your dreams. But he said, for I know the plans I have for you. And they're incredible plans. In fact, God's going to take some of you to places to do things that you never dreamed you would do. God's going to allow some of you to experience things that you'd say, man, this just blows my socks off me. In fact, I have to tell you, as I've experienced God's plans, I just find myself saying, I have lived a charmed life. I grew up as a kid in Nebraska. I've had the opportunity to travel the world. I've had the opportunity to meet incredible people and to dine with presidents and to be in places that are like, man, how did this happen? I know who I am. My grade school years were spent in a little town called Trenton, Iowa. There were 104 people. I know that for a fact because one night my brother and I counted them all. We counted every person in our town. God's got plans for you. Do you understand this, that your greatest days are just ahead? In fact, God uses unlikely people to do extraordinary things. And he says to these people that are in exile, he says, I'm going to bring you back to this place. I've got something good in store for you that's going to be incredible. But our reality sometimes is a little bit tough. It's a little bit hard. You see, our reality says, well, I really can't be used of God. I can't do much. I can't speak. Every person that God used faced a reality where they said, I can't speak. Gideon. When God said to Gideon, Gideon, I want to use you. He said, oh, my Lord. Me? I'm a farmer. God's reality is that he loves to take people, and God is looking for people that he can use to do incredible things with. And God wants to use you. He wants to use you. Now, I would prefer to talk to five people where I could sit down and look you in the eye. And I could begin to look at you and begin to try to get you to grab a hold of the fact that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Some of you are kind of set your course. You set your trajectory. But I'm just here to tell you that God is going to surprise the socks off some of you because he has a destiny for you. He has a calling for you. He has a place for you that'll blow you right out of the water. He graduated from this place in 1953. I had never met him. He had hero status with me. The first time I met Dr. Ernie Sturry, who was the one that became the guiding force behind Tenwick Hospital in Kenya, it was bigger to me than meeting the President of the United States or the Pope. But I saw this man who came to this college as a simple student from Bern, Indiana. And God said, I'm going to take you, and you are going to be a part of watching the finest third world hospital anywhere in the world, impactful in an amazing way. And he sat in this chapel and in this room, and he sat maybe with you as a freshman, or a sophomore, a junior, a senior. You see, God says, I've got plans for you. I've got dreams for you. I've got hopes for you. I want to use you in an incredible way. And these people are sitting there and saying, well, this isn't going to work out too well. We're stuck here in Babylon. I mean, there's no way this can happen. God is looking for people who are surrendered and willing. Now, what I want to do is, I want to make my case to you by telling you some stories. And so I'm going to introduce some friends to you. These are friends who are much like so many of you in this room right now. Great people, but they kind of had their course, their trajectory set in a direction. And God did a major mid-course correction. He just kind of in a moment just kind of stepped into them and said, I want you to get in line with my plans. The first person I want to show you a picture of is Kayla. Kayla is a neat gal. She worked on our staff. She just kind of, her goal was just kind of work in the church and impact girls. And one day God gets a hold of Kayla and says, Kayla, I want to change your course. I want to send you to Thailand. I want to send you to Thailand, and I want to send you to be a part of a group that is going to be able to make a significant difference. And so Kayla totally changed her life course. I use that word, her trajectory. She actually went over and she took and with some other people started a bicycle shop because she wanted to be able to give people an occupation, give people transportation, give people the opportunity to experience the love of God in an incredible and amazing way. And today, Kayla, just kind of a shy gal, I wouldn't call her an outstanding leader. I would call her an incredible disciple. Watch God put his fingerprints all over her, the fingerprints of God. And people would say, wow, this doesn't sound like the Kayla I went to school with. It's the fingerprints of God. You see, one of the things I like to challenge people is to one time in your life experience something that is so heavy with God's presence that you can say, God did this and his fingerprints are all over it. Let me introduce you to a second person. Second person I want to introduce you to is a young guy by the name of Corey. Young guy by the name of Corey. That's his wife, Allie, beside him. Were any of you here who played high school football? Any high school football players? I know Asbury doesn't have a football team per se. Okay, where's the basketball team? Guys, basketball players here? Any basketball players in the house right now? Be proud of it if you play basketball. Don't be embarrassed by it. Corey was the guy. He was the stud in his high school. In fact, in the state of Indiana, he won the award for the superior senior athlete, played in the state championship football game. He was the kid in school that was the quarterback. He was the kid in basketball that was the leading scorer, won sectionals, which is a big deal in the state of Indiana. Corey is on a business chart. His dad is a businessman. Worked for a company that actually is owned by Warren Buffett. His dad didn't. Corey's trajectory is going that way. Allie, cross-country runner. Beautiful gal from Michigan. And one day, God gets a hold of them. And his fingerprints go on them. And he says, I know the plans I have for you, Corey. And Corey decides to do something that defies all logic. He moves to the inner city of South Bend. And there's a part of South Bend, Indiana, about 3 miles from Notre Dame. There's a pretty tough area. Crime rate is high. It is an urban environment. And Corey goes in and says, I'm going to take my life. And I'm going to pour it in to small groups of people, and I'm going to mentor them. I'm going to do life on life with them. In fact, he calls it iron sharpening iron. Unfortunately, the initials to that are not working out real well for him. ISI. It's not working out real well. We're going to have to change that. In fact, I want to show you a picture. Because as Corey starts this thing with one group, here he is, a college student just a couple, 3 years ago. He starts this thing. Now he has five groups going. And Corey said, I know the plans God has for me. And it took this mid-course correction. And all of a sudden, the fingerprints of God are all over Corey and Allie. And now this movement is starting to go into the hard places. Wow. Incredible. Let me introduce you to another young man. This guy kind of interests me. His name is Ryan Fleming. Ryan grew up in, where I live is Amish country. We have a lot of Amish. Do you understand the name Yoder is kind of a Mennonite Amish name? Do you know that? We tell people in South Bend, you may have Notre Dame, we have Yoder Dame, you know, because we are in the middle of Amish country. This kid grows up in Amish country. I used to pray with him at 6 o'clock on Sunday nights at a small prayer group. He's a college student. He comes to me one night and he says, Pastor, I got to talk to you. I cannot shake this call to go to Gary, Indiana. Now, if you understand Indiana and you understand Gary, Gary at one time was the murder capital of the United States. Gary's rough. Gary was so bad that the governor shut down the police department in Gary and brought in the state patrol to manage the town. And here's this white kid from Amish country who says, God's called me to go to Gary. And I said, let's pray. And we prayed. He said, I can't shake this call. I've got to go to Gary, Indiana. Now, what am I going to do? So I find someone who helps, and we arrange an internship for Ryan to work with an inner city church. He moves into Gary, Indiana. I remember the day we moved him into his apartment, and I left this kid there. Made a mistake. I left him by himself. That was a big mistake. Jesus sent out people two by two. I'll never do that one again. But I left him in this apartment. 2 days later, he sends me a note about the bullet hole that he found one day when he was gone that had shot through a wall in his apartment. He's in the tough edge. Can I tell you today, 14 years later, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Ryan Fleming today pastors a congregation in Gary called The Revolution, is impacting one of the darkest, toughest, hardest places. Take a look at this. You're going to see Ryan with his family as he's taken his family right down to the heart. In fact, he lived not far from where Michael Jackson would have grown up there in Gary. And he's making a difference because he understood that when I align my heart with God's heart, he can do incredible things. Would you just join me right now in thanking the Lord? Let's just thank the Lord. Would you do that for a guy who does that? You see, the fingerprints of God are all over that. Here's a picture of a gal that comes out of your family here. Some of you may know, if you've been on staff or faculty here for a while, you may know Stacy Wells when she was here, Stacy Kater as she is now. Stacy was an Asbury student, Southern Ohio. God got a hold of this gal. In fact, I was speaking in Florida one time, and a gal that was going to go to Kenya as a missionary came to me and said, at the end of the service, people sometimes visit with you. And a gal comes to me and she says, so you pastor this big church. What are you going to do about HIV throwaway babies in Kenya? What are you going to do about throwaway babies in Africa? Ah, man, everybody's got a cause. And I just thought, man, how do I be nice to this lady? But frankly, it's not on my radar. End of the next service, a gal comes up to me and says, so what are you going to do about throwaway babies? Hadn't really been on my radar. I'm worried about following behind horse and buggies, you know, and all the residue they leave. I'm not really worried about throwaway babies. Finally, Christy and I said, okay, we'll go out for supper. And the lady sat down and said, your church has got to do something about babies that are born in pit latrines. Your church has got to do something about babies that have been abandoned. Your church, you've got to do something about these HIV babies. If you really believe God can do it, you've got to step up. I checked with the organization, and they said there's a young gal just graduated from Asbury. She's in Southern Ohio. You ought to bring her over and have her talk to your people. Stacy journeyed over into our country. And when Stacy came and presented this thing, the Spirit of God began to move and stir in an amazing way. Here's Stacy. Every one of those babies that she's with right there was a throwaway baby. If you could hear the stories of someone walking by a pit latrine and hearing a cry, and you could only imagine what it'd be like to hear a cry, and the eyes are infected, you know, with the feces that have been around that child. And these are the story of those babies. All because one gal, one of your tribe, let the Spirit of God stir in her heart and something happened deep. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Could it be that God wants to do something with you? Could it be, here's a picture of two couples that got a hold of this thing. Two businessmen, they and their wives got a hold of this thing and simply said, we need a mid-course correction. We've got to change our life. God's got something where he's got his fingerprints. The guy and his wife on the right have made 29 trips to the baby center, self-funded, to make sure that ministry is going to be able to be a sustainable thing to make a difference. The guy on the left ended his career and said, I'm going to go over and provide leadership for this and do it in an amazing way. Take a look at this next picture because it says it all. Here's a guy that grabs a baby, succeeded in business. Some of you business students, it's not business and God over here. It's all one together. He simply said, I work, I build a great company so I can make a difference all around the world. For I know the plans I have for you. God's got plans for some of you. The greatest works in this world have not yet been started. The best churches, the most effective churches in this world haven't even been planted yet. The most impactful ministries that are going to change people all around the world haven't even been dreamed yet, because those things are seeds inside of every one of you that are going to take your talents, your time, your treasure and say, God, I'm all in on this thing. I'm not just going to go through and get a degree and go do something. I am committed to simply saying, I want your plans for my life. I was speaking in Bradford, Pennsylvania at a community crusade. Bunch of churches got together, and I was a speaker. I stayed at the home of a lady who was a librarian on the campus there for Penn State University. She said, you ought to come down, and I love books, and I love libraries. And so I went down to where she worked, and I found a book on the table. Now, I'm cheap. I'm really cheap. And you know how it is in libraries? They have the books for a dime and a quarter or something, you know, do that. And I saw this book, and here's a copy of it. It is called The White Flag Principle. And the book subtitle is How to Lose a War and Why. And I thought, this is the goofiest stinking book I've ever seen in my life. And I picked it up, and I started looking at this book. Here's one of the chapter titles. Building Up an Army for Defeat. I mean, who said, hey, we're going to have an army and let's see if we can get beat? I'm saying, this is silly. Giving oneself up. Oh, look at this. There's a whole chapter on losing. Look at this next picture. This is interesting. It tells you how to surrender, the proper way to surrender. It's goofy. I mean, if you could look at this book, this thing just blew my mind as I looked at this book. How do you surrender? In fact, it tells you that when you surrender, you must always go slowly for fear you're pulling a weapon and put your hands like this. It's kind of like they made a field goal, right? You know, there it is. There it is. Or it says you ultimately move. Look at another surrender position it does. It says, no, if you really want to do it right, you take them and you put them all the way up. Come on, do it right now. Come on, you can do it. Some of you didn't use deodorant. Do it anyway. Come on, put it up. Come on, get them. You didn't put it up. Come on, get them up there. Get them up there. Sure. I looked at this book and I thought, this is the goofiest book I've ever seen. I bought the thing. I thought, this is incredible. And the thesis of the book is simple. Because oftentimes in war, when you lose, you win. When I walked in this place, I had a moment. It was right here in my college chapel. It was December 5th. It was 12 noon. It was a moment that forever changed my life. I went to college. I was going into radio broadcasting. I'd done a lot of radio broadcasting in high school. I was the voice of my high school. 464 in my graduating class. I was offered a scholarship through one of the chapters of the University of Nebraska, and that was my thing, radio broadcasting. I was going to do it. It became my identity. I was the guy that, you know, if they needed somebody to do something on radio or news or whatever, I was the guy that did it. In fact, I got hired, offered a job at a place 65 miles away to be a radio disc jockey at the age of 15. It's a credible story. The only problem is I couldn't drive. How could I get to work? I couldn't take the job. KNCY, Nebraska City, Nebraska. I couldn't take the job. I was too young. That was my dream and my goal. And when I went to college, I said, God, would you bless me in my dream and my goal? Bless me, God. Bless me. Help me to be the best I could be. December 5th, 12 noon, right there. I remember getting down on my knees and saying, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I want your fingerprints all over my life. This isn't going to work well if I've got my plans. All of a sudden, Jeremiah 29 comes alive. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper, shalom you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And on that day, I just said, God, I die to Dave's plan. Here I am. Man, that was hard. 3 months of battle in my life from September. I journaled it. I chronicled it. Can I tell you something? I lost that day because I surrendered. And I won that day. I won that day. Because God has given me, oh, there's been pain, there's been setbacks, there's been reversals, there's been disappointments. But God has given me a charmed life. And his fingerprints, I believe, have been on so many things. Because when you lose your plan and you pick up his plan, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for you. Somebody in this room just needs to go like this and say, God, here it is. I always had a fear if I did that, I'd be called to be a missionary. I did not want to be a missionary. I love missions now. You got to understand, I've come a long ways. To be chairman of the board of a mission organization, I've come a long ways. I always thought if I did that, that I'd be on the JV squad, not the varsity. Because I always thought missionaries were the JV squad. How I discovered that you play varsity only when you play by his plan. I want you to bow your heads together with me. Your heads bowed and your eyes closed. The quietness of these moments. Maybe the Holy Spirit just echoes to you. For I know the plans I have for you. Maybe there's just somebody in this room right now that says, you know what? This is the day when I've just got to throw my hands up. God is raising up a mighty army of students today that are going to begin the greatest ministries, that are going to pastor the most impactful churches, that are going to step into building transforming schools, that are going to be accountants, that are going to use their gifts and talents and abilities. But it is only going to happen when you say, Lord, here I am. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Just in the quietness of this moment. For I know the plans I have for you. And he could have said, I know the plans you have for yourself. But my plans are the plans. If you're here today in this room right now, and there's something inside of you that stirs and says, God, I'm all in. I'm signing the dotted line. I'm going to ask you to just stand up right where you're at. For some of you, it may be a first time. For others of you, it may be just a renewal that I'm on there. And I'm going to ask you just to stand to your feet right now boldly and say, God, here I am. I'm standing on your plans. Whether you're in the balcony, whether you're in the main floor, if you just say, I want to stand, I just stand and say, God, I give it to you. I surrender myself. I don't know what it is. I don't know where it's at. I don't know what's going to take place. But I want your plans. I don't have to be in charge. Just stand to your feet and just say, God, you stirred in my heart today. Don't stand because someone else is standing. Don't stand because it's cool. Do not stand because somehow you think some magical thing will happen. You stand only because you're signing on the dotted line, a blank check, and you're saying to him, you fill in the amounts. Now, Father, you did something for Ryan and Corey and Kayla, Stacy, Jamie, Dan, Jolinda. You did something for all these people because they simply aligned their plans with your plans, and the fingerprints of God were all over it. So my friends right now in this room do exactly the same. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I want you just to stand together with me, congregation. Would you do that? Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come and share with you. I have a great respect for this place. And I truly believe whenever your memories are greater than your dreams, you're writing your last chapters. And my prayer for this place is that your dreams for what God has ahead in his plans will be greater than your memories. Amen. Amen. Let's just thank the Lord together. Will we do that right now? Let's just thank Him for His love and His goodness and His faithfulness. Send them out of here. Send them.
You guys are officially dismissed, but we're going to stay in.